This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. Your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at RealLauro5. Today's show is brought to you by French Lick Resorts, Man O' War Golf, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Play Golf Lexington, and Edwin Watts Golf. Now let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Welcome in. Good morning. I just can't start, Sean, on a Sunday morning. I can't start like all, hey, how you doing? It's got to be mellow. Sip a coffee, maybe watching. Watch. No, that's not true. Golfers are, we're a hardy bunch. We don't get scared easily. Unless you're looking at a 180-yard approach shot over water, we don't get scared easily. It's Backspin Golf, the 8:03 tee time here from the Square Country Club in Lexington, Kentucky. A lot going on, obviously, the Arnold Palmer, our guys playing, and you know what I'm thinking about more than anything. Yes, Tiger, but the Masters is just a couple weeks away now, so we got a lot to get to. Great show today. Perry French, Michelle Holmes will join us to talk about some new ideas for tee boxes. And Mark Carnival, the great Mark Carnival, who was at Valspar, will tell us what it was like to be there. This is ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Now, joining Matthew on Backspin Golf is Perry French, PGA professional and territory manager of Strixon Cleveland Golf.
Hey, hey, hey. It's Perry French. That was good.
The season's underway. Yeah,
you know what? There's a real melody there. This, usually I just kid around, but that was...
Did you strike a chord?
I need to go... Hey, Sean, when we get done with Perry, maybe we can record the song. Sean can produce records, too, you know.
Well, I know he's a producer, so that kind of just... It's all one encompassing...
Hi, Perry French.
Good morning.
All right, start off with here.
Yeah.
You are wearing an extremely beautiful black. It's got Strixon on the breast over here. It's got Cleveland Golf on one sleeve. Say it for me again.
Zexio.
Zexio.
Yeah.
I always want to say Exio.
Yeah,
it's
most
Zexio
people do.
Yeah. On the left sleeve.
X's or Z's in Japanese.
And there's shoulder. A little something on your right yeah. shoulder.
This
here.
Is the brand of the company that this product is. Sunice is the
Sunice.
Maker.
S-U-N-I-C-E.
Yeah, it's basically an outerwear piece. It's a really neat kind of a, you know.
It's beautiful.
Wear it for all kinds of weather, wind and rain.
Not that I'm just, angling for one.
Yeah,
of those.
Angling. But you can angle all you want. There may be
you're
some
not getting one, but you can angle.
The good news is I think we're going to have some opportunity to get some stuff. We used to have some branded product, as you know, years ago. But we could actually sell and get right. out. So hopefully that's going to happen. I've been hearing rumors since the PGA show that we'll have some. We have a lot of our staff guys want to wear our brand. That's
of
great.
Course.
You know, we want people to be flying the colors, and it's about time.
Absolutely.
So it's a neat piece, and it's a cold, you know, cold weather.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Isn't this great?
March just Madness. Is something going on?
I don't know.
That's the weather. It's what I call it.
Those are basketball
the weather is March
people.
Madness.
We're golfers.
I call the weather March Madness. I hate March. It's just such a crazy day.
But here's the good news, though, around here weather-wise.
Yeah.
Yes, there's still snow on the ground. Yes, there's whatever. But we could be in Boston, where my friend Peter has a foot and a half
right.
of
three
snow
three nor'easters in,
yeah.
in 11 days.
And
so
they won't be playing golf until end of June geez, up there.
Crazy.
So
yeah.
hopefully we'll
that
be
is their summer. July 4th of July is the summer.
Yes.
Just one day.
I'm going to try to get out today.
Nice. Nice.
All right. Here we go. I want to talk because the whole rest of the show is about Tiger and about, you know. All
right.
I want to talk to you about equipment, about this new, the bifurcation of the ball.
Right.
And you should explain what that means to people because people think that's some dirty term or something. We have all this new equipment.
Right.
I've seen more. I watched, if you watched 5 minutes of the Valspar
mm-hmm.
last weekend,
mm-hmm.
you saw 10 driver ads.
Mm-hmm. It's a time of the year where we're, you know, we're right. Golf season is upon the whole country here in the next 45 days. Masters is 3 weeks away. Oh, everybody's getting golf fever. And product reigns king most of the time.
Right.
The golf certainly, it seems like when the majors and golf really kind of takes hold and the game of golf is that, and product still is there. But right now everybody's thinking, what do I need to do to get myself ready for my golf season?
Right.
So bifurcation, start with the golf ball. It's been the big topic for a number of years, and certainly most notably Jack Nicklaus and those type of feedbacks from obviously the GOAT. We want to know what he thinks, and he still wants to blame the golf ball for what's happened to the golf game. And quite frankly, there's a lot of things that say it's not necessary. And it starts at the tour, because that's where we think about players who are hitting these prestigious drives.
It starts there because they're the purest of all the golfers. So we can take their stuff and go, if this is how good the best are, it'll filter down.
So in the way the golf ball has evolved, certainly as the way the driver's equipment has evolved, drivers most notably because of 830 COR, maximization of 460cc heads, those things have been limited.
Boy, you're like a scientist.
Right.
Here.
And what I've did some research. So the RNA came out and the USGA came out with a distance report.
Yes.
Pretty good source to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And 2007, on the PGA Tour, the average club head speed was 112.4 miles per hour.
In 2007.
2007. And that's where Pro V1 had been out, multi-layered golf balls have been out, and that's really kind of what 460s, everything was kind of put to the to the max test. 2017, the average club head speed, 113.9, 1.5 miles per hour. So even with the physics of the players getting more physically better and stronger and all that, 1.5 miles per hour, that doesn't equate to more than 3 or 4 yards.
If that.
Exactly. That's in carry yards. So the 90th percentile, which means obviously this is the top 10 percenters, 118 to 120, thus in Johnson's other world. So 10% of those players, yes, they exceed some numbers that do push the distance of 305 to 340 yard shots. We still have to blame the golf course conditions that they play on for the long drives that they are achieving.
See, this firm, nobody ever thinks of this.
Firm, low cut fairways that are less than almost the height of most players' greens maintained.
Right.
The ball's going to roll that much further.
Right.
It's a 30 to 40 yard roll per every drive. So
I want to play on tour.
Exactly. And when the golf course is wet, and while we know that the players can get a little bit more aim because of the conditions and the balls, their distances come back significantly.
Right.
They're hitting longer shots in. Okay, so ball speed. This is the three equations. Ball speed, launch angle, and spin are the three criteria that everyone uses to measure all equipment values and how they fit the player. The average tour ball speed in 2007 was 165.4 miles per hour.
Hmm.
It's 168.8 in 2017. Again, 3 miles per hour, it's about 9 yards. It's not a huge difference. Launch angle goes from 10.8 to 11.1. Again, we're talking
10.8 to 11.1.
0.3 degrees.
These are the huge developments that we have made.
And spin goes from a 2800 to 2500, 2814 to 2578. These numbers, again, the equation of fitting, you have to have, this doesn't fit every player.
Right.
This is what the best players, to maximize their performance to hit 300-yard drives, have to achieve. They have to have ball speed north of 165. They have to have launch angles between really 10 and 14 degrees, as we know, just depending on launch conditions.
Right.
And then the spin numbers, yes, below between 25 and 2800. Unless you have greater speed and greater launch, you can reduce the spin number down to a lower number, which would create almost a knuckleball type effect in a really long standing hanging drive.
Right.
Most of us, the average golfer, are the ones where this bifurcation story comes into play with.
Yeah.
Why is the tour playing the same equipment that we are? They should be dialed back, and the game should be playing.
Everybody's saying they hit it too far.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, again, golf courses have evolved. They're a lot better conditioned. Their ball's traveling further on the ground. Conditions for putting are a whole lot more improved than they were back when Palmer and Nicklaus were trying to shoot 65 at the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
But they did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why always I always think of Bobby Jones.
It's almost harder, I think, in some cases with the greens, as fast as they are, yeah, and the conditions. There's right, just a more finite definition of what is the speed and the ball rolling in and that kind of stuff. So that kind of gives you the baseline of where testing and top end players are. Let's go to us. Let's go to the golfing
now,
public.
Now, I'm going to stop you here right now.
Yes.
You cannot put you and me in the us category.
Oh,
No, you've played with me.
Yeah, but
although
as much as I'd like to be, I still fall in the not a tour player.
Okay.
For
right,
sure.
If that's the baseline.
And that's the rest of all us, okay? I don't have ball speeds of 165. Never did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably my highest, if I would remember, would be somewhere in the 152 to 5 range.
That's kind of where I am.
So, yeah.
Anyway.
But I'm in the 145. I'm in that 145 right, range of ball speed, which is about a 95 mile an hour, maybe close to 98. So
okay,
here's what the average male golfer in 2017, this is going to, so the new driver you're looking to buy, claiming to get you 20 more yards, beware. Okay?
Every commercial says the same thing.
Right. The way to purchase a driver is to get paired up with how your launch conditions are, your speed, your launch conditions, your spin. And there are great drivers that will maximize your performance.
Right.
But they can't promise you 20 yards. It's not out there. The numbers prove it. Okay. The less than 6 handicapper, which is a small percentage of golfers out there. That's in the 90th percentile.
Right.
Their average drive is 236 yards.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, a 0-6 handicap?
That's their average drive.
236?
Right.
See, now I'm already.
Okay. Now, these are from statistical data based using TrackMan. This is not arbitrary numbers. This is that they actually did testing.
Yes, this is
the
scientific.
6-12 handicapper, 212. The 13-20 handicapper, 198 yards. And the 21-plus handicapper, 188. Overall, the average distance is 208 yards. That's carry.
208. Okay.
208. So you 300-yard drivers out there, if it doesn't hit the cart path,
or
it's probably not going
in
300 yards. All I'm saying is to the bifurcation story, the great thing about the game of golf is that the best players in the world on the greatest courses in the world, championship ready, are available for us to play and to test ourselves against that type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Can't go to a Major League Baseball park.
Can't
and try
play
to,
in Yankee
can't,
Stadium.
Can't play. Right. Can't get a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. I wouldn't have a chance. But when I go play, I can play the same equipment that they're playing and measure myself, and that's the allure of it. So the whole point being is it's not affecting the tour hardly at all.
Yeah.
The top 10% are getting an advantage. And, yes, when you make Augusta National 500 yards longer, it's going to favor a Dustin Johnson a little bit more.
Right.
Wait.
I'll forget this now.
Okay.
I may have already forgotten it. So that was just in my head. These guys, like Ricky Fowler, how do we attribute Justin Thomas, who is 5'9 and 160 pounds, hitting, you know, his second shot, 285 uphill on a par five into it has to do with the equipment and the ball too, right?
There's an optimization that occurs with each player, and that's what they're able to get with TrackMan in today's equipment. They are optimizing, and they are able to max out.
Right.
But it hasn't happened every swing they make.
Yeah.
Right? It happens more for them because of their skill. And for us, it might be 2 or 3 out of 10, or in a game of golf, it's 14 drives. So maybe it's 3 out of 10, 3 out of 14.
Mm-hmm.
For them, it's 9 out of 14.
Right.
The other 5 are in play and they're playable. And then, of course, there's a couple that aren't. They hit some pretty errant drives on the PGA Tour.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's just the game of golf.
Right.
So don't beat yourself up about it. That happens to the best of them, the most experienced and practiced.
Right.
So when you hit a bad drive, go find it and play the best shot you can and start figuring out how to make a bogey instead of making a triple bogey from a bad drive. That's how you play better golf. You're going to only hit so many really good shots around. What did Hogan say? He might have hit 3 perfect shots around.
If that. Right. And
okay.
That was Hogan.
Yeah, that was Hogan. For his criteria.
Right.
For yours, the whole point with buying a good driver, buying the right set of irons, buying the right wedges, is that it maximizes the way, and absolutely the right ball, maximizes the way you are able to strike the golf ball mm-hmm. and improve your consistency factor and your squareness of contact.
Right.
Those things occur, your golf game is going to get better. How you manage yourself around the golf course, that's another story.
Yes.
Okay, that's for you to figure out as a golfer and learn from your mistakes and learn to be able to take and play to your strengths. Mm-hmm. So if you've developed a really good short game, it's okay when you look from your punch out shot to knock to 80 yards and not worry about trying to chase when a hero shot up on the green.
Right.
And you lay it back to 80 yards, you knock it on, you maybe knock the putt in, but the worst case is you make a bogey instead of trying to go for the green, knock it in the water or the bunker, make double or triple.
Right.
And there you go. Okay, so that's where equipment has just kind of evolved. It was a pretty interesting study. It's 24 pages long.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of data in there. I read it for about 30 minutes this morning and peeled off a few of the stats that made sense for us to talk about. But for the game of golf, distance, and the PGA of America put a survey out 2 weeks ago. I participated in about 7,500 PGA pros who actually responded. The overwhelming response, 85%, we don't see distance as a detriment to the game. That the golf ball going longer isn't hurting our game.
Right.
It's not hurting. The numbers prove it out. You mentioned about tees being, and that's find the right tees. That's still a challenge to find the right tees for players to play because of how far they don't hit the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're playing a 400-yard par 4 tees, which would be mostly the blue tees or the champion tees for most golf courses on that golf course, and you only hit a 208-yard drive, hello. You need to be playing the forward tees one or two
Absolutely.
Up so that you can play and have 150 yards in.
Right.
So that would mean go to the 350 or if possible. Some holes are going to play long, and that's the game of golf. Work on your short game.
Right.
You know.
And it's interesting you say that. In our next segment, Michelle Holmes from down in Virginia will be talking about this mm-hmm. long leaf tee system.
Right. There you go.
And that's what it is. All right. I'll talk to you more about your beautiful thing you're wearing
All right.
later. Thanks.
Have a good one, bud.
Yeah.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their 5 public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play golf, Lexington.
Welcome back. One of my favorite people in the world is somebody as often happens on our show, is somebody that I've actually never met, and she's still one of my favorite people in the world. Michelle Holmes is down in Chesapeake, Virginia. She's an LPGA teaching pro, and more importantly, I think, a master kids teacher, one of the top 50 kids teachers, and she's just the greatest. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
That was quite an introduction.
Oh, well, I could go on and on, but I don't have that much time, so I'll leave it there. It's so great to talk to you again. I know down there in Virginia, you've been going through what we've been going through here, which is snow and cold, and it's finally starting to get to the point where maybe you can actually get outside and play some golf again.
Yeah, it's been a tough winter. It's been a long one. We've been at our indoor facility all winter, and we're just ready to get outdoors now in April.
Well, better late than never, I guess, right?
Exactly.
That's what we're thinking. You do so much great work with kids. Your Twitter account is great. The pictures and videos of these kids are amazing. And you can follow her at M Holmes, H-O-L-M-E-S, golf, on Twitter. But something that came up a few days ago, and I've seen it before, but now it seems like we're really going to focus on this. And this is very, very important to you. And this is, as you say, no more men's tees, no more women's tees. Tees should not be based on age or gender, just ability. And so I want you to just take our listeners through a little bit about what this is all about.
Yeah, no problem. And well, we all know the golf business has been struggling for a number of years now. And I think the main reason is that golf is a little too difficult and it takes a lot of time out of a person's day. And so we've all obviously been looking for the answers. But I went to visit Longleaf Golf Club last summer, and Jim Hardy is the director of instruction there. Mm-hmm. He's a good friend of mine, and he introduced me to something that they have been doing there for the last couple of years, and they call it the Longleaf Tea System. And basically what this is, it's a joint initiative between US Kids Golf and the American Society of Golf Course Architects. And what they have done is they've scaled their golf courses so that golf owners can give players more enjoyable round of golf, but still keeping the design integrity and challenge of the layout of the course.
Well, this is the whole idea of this. And if you're listening, if you go to Michelle's Twitter account, there's a picture. So the idea is, I guess the first time when they set the course up this way, there won't be men's and women's and seniors tee boxes the way we know them. What happens is there are posts put out numbered, say, 1 through 8, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
you go to the driving range and say you hit your driver and you get a feel for which one of those numbered posts is your average drive, how far you hit your average drive. And then when you get to the tee boxes, there will be the same numbered posts, and everybody plays from the post where their average drive would go. Is that right?
That's exactly it. So they have 7 posts on the driving range, number 1 through 7. They have 7 tee boxes. So then let's say if a person hits their drive 125 yards, they're going to play a golf course and that's 3,200 yards for 18 holes. You know, a person like me who still drive, let's say, 225, I'm going to play a golf course 6,200 yards. So it's based off the length you can hit your drive, the tee that you're going to play.
And this is what worries me. It makes too much sense.
So much sense. I'm like, how do we not think of this?
I know.
10 years ago.
I know. Yeah. And as you say, the thing is, a lot of people have been talking about changing golf courses to make things more accessible. You don't have to do that with this.
Yeah, James,
all
yeah.
you have to do is put these posts out in the teeing areas, mm-hmm. and the golf course stays exactly the same. You don't have to do anything. And the idea is, when I play, for example, I hit it about 225 or 230 off the tee, if I hit it really well, if I really catch one. But I usually play with guys who are longer off the tee than I am. So they tee off from their, you know, the blue tees, say, and then I have to go up to the white tees, which I just did about a year ago. And if we're playing with a woman, the red tees are way up there, and then she. But this makes everything so much simpler. You can just go to your post and hit. It would take time off of the game, and everybody would be playing roughly the same clubs and the same golf course.
Exactly. I know Jim told me at Longleaf they've taken, I think it was 22 minutes on average off their rounds of golf. But for me as an instructor, the biggest thing is I can't tell you. I don't teach too many adults anymore because we're focused mainly on kids.
Yeah.
But I can't tell you how many ladies I used to teach in particular. And they come and they get their 8-lesson package and they do well. And then I see them 6 months later and I'd be like, so how's it going? And they'd be like, oh, I was too afraid to go on the golf course. Couldn't do it. And so many golfers are not getting off the driving range. And then, you know, the biggest question I've been getting on Twitter is, okay, well, what's the cost factor with this? And I get it costs a little bit of money to put mm-hmm. extra tee markers out there and whatnot and with maintenance. But think of how much money we're losing by golfers not getting from the driving range to the first tee.
Yeah, there's that. And if what this will do also, as we said, will shorten rounds of golf. Mm-hmm. So you have more people that are able to play in a day that are out there. The cost, it's not so prohibitive that it should keep places from doing this. It actually, in the long run, I think would end up adding money to each club.
Oh, most definitely. And then, of course, we have happier golfers, and if we have happier golfers, they're going to stay in the game longer, and of course, they're going to play more golf.
It's just a fantastic idea, and I'm going to talk about it, you know, as we go forward here on Backspin Golf. I also I have some ins here with our city golf courses.
Okay.
I'm going to actually make an appointment with the director of golf, my buddy Curtis Mitchell, and sit down with him and talk to him about this because I really think it's a fantastic idea. Before I let you go, tell us about some of the things you're doing with the kids now.
Well, we're so busy with the kids, and it's got to the point where we're pretty much teaching kids full-time now. So we've got our two outdoor facilities, we've got our indoor facility for the winter, and it's been our first year having an indoor facility, so I'm excited to see the kids. The kids are going to be more prepared now for the spring season, so I'm really excited about that. But yeah, we've got tons of programs going on, from camps, the U.S. Kids Golf, the LPGA Girls Golf, PGA Junior League. You name it, we got it going on.
Wow. That's so awesome. I wish I lived closer, I'm telling you.
But if you're ever in this area, you got to promise you're going to come see me.
Oh, I promise. I promise that I will. Real quickly, we're into the whole meat of it now as we start, and already for the LPGA, a great start to this season already.
Mm-hmm. Yes, big things happening with LPGA and PGA. So hopefully the LPGA keeps it going, and I think the Tigers will come back there. I think it's a good move for golf.
Well, to get to the kids thing, somebody put on Twitter the other day about Tiger after this amazing weekend we just went through with the crowds and everything, that he's the reason why so many kids got involved when he was playing the way he did. It wasn't just him winning majors. He made golf cool to kids again. And hopefully with him playing this way, the same thing will happen. If you saw all the kids out there at Valspar just because their parents brought them out because Tiger was there, that's what we want. We want kids starting really early and falling in love with the game.
And even on Monday, you know, when we were doing our classes, generally you want to hear kids talking about the golf tournament that just happened at the weekend. But everyone was talking about Tiger, so it's pretty cool to listen to the kids talk about him.
All right. Well, you're the best. Good luck with getting out there and playing, and we'll catch up with you as we go along here on Backspin Golf. As always, I love talking to you, and I'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye, Michelle.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by French Lick Resort. Visit them online at FrenchLick.com.
Welcome back. It's Backspin Golf here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Joining me now is a friend of mine who you know, it's ridiculous. I don't get to see the people that I really care about and I enjoy being around nearly enough. I need to win the lottery and retire and just travel around playing golf with my buddies. And this is a guy that would be right up at the top of the list. The 1992 PGA Tour Rookie of the Year. Seems like a long time ago. Mark Carnevale joins me now. Hi, buddy.
How you doing, Matthew? It is a long time ago, by the way.
You know, it's such an incredible accomplishment, but you always feel like, well, wait a minute, it is so long ago, but it's still something. I mean, before we get to this Tiger stuff and everything that you're doing for Sirius XM Radio, when you think about that stuff, how do you think about it? How do you look back at that time in your life?
Well, I only figured there's only been 24 others since that time. So
there you go.
In perspective, it's not so bad. It does seem so long ago, Matthew. I mean, that's a part of my life. Obviously, I was at that point, I was 32 years old. Now getting ready to turn 58. I mean, it seems like so long, but yet it really wasn't that long ago as I started my career on the PGA Tour. It is interesting because I've essentially stopped playing competitively in 2003. So there's another 14, 15 years away from the game, even though at 50 I dabbled a little bit trying to play the PGA Tour Champions. That didn't work out. But
yeah,
it does seem long ago. But at the same time, when you're out there every week calling golf, it brings back such great memories of events I played in, and particularly when you go back to an event that you played in and now you're covering. And when people remember you, that makes it doesn't seem that long ago. But it was very special. I kid Phil Mickelson all the time because I beat him out for the award, and it's only a one-time deal.
And it's something he'll never be able to top you at.
No, I offered to sell him the trophy numerous times.
Did he offer to bet you something for it? That
I said I'll trade you 5 wins for the trophy.
Oh, that's fantastic. You can follow Mark at MCROY92, as we're talking about that, on Twitter. And more importantly, you can listen to him on SiriusXM PGA Tour with all the coverage that they do. And I'm telling you, most of the time, except maybe when my buddy Peter Jacobson is calling something, or I have an aversion to listening to TV golf coverage, and I would much rather listen to you guys because it's the job you do is just fantastic.
Well, I appreciate that. You can also catch me on PGA Tour Live. I do about 9 events a year on that. So, mm-hmm. It's a subscription-based thing, and of course you can get the app for that as well. But
right.
I do that. Matter of fact, I did that at both Honda and in Mexico. But, it's fun. I mean, we started back in May, June, I don't know what year and month it is, May of 2005. We had our first event, and it's hard to believe that we're still going strong. It gets better and better, not only each year, but I think each week. And we've got a great group of people doing this, and without question, I think we've created a platform that people really, really enjoy. So yeah, all that's been fun. It's been a blast, and getting ready next week. I'll be doing the match play on radio. For PGA Tour Radio. Then I'll be in the studio for PGA Tour Live for 2 days at the Houston Open. And then, of course, I'll be at Augusta for the Masters with Westwood One. So got a nice 3-week stretch coming up.
Yeah, you do. And now that you mention it, before I get to this Tiger stuff, I'm assuming you'll be there for Wednesday for the par 3 and all that, the last practice round. And here's the good news. So will I.
Oh, really?
Yes. I have never been to Augusta. And, of course, you know my brother Mitchie, who I hate, goes every year. And this year, our good buddy John Patrick from the Augusta Golf Show has fulfilled a bucket list wish for me. And me and Mitchie are going to be there together on that Wednesday. So I'll see you there.
Yeah, we're going to have to make sure we hook up. Yeah, I see Mitchie there every year, and we keep kind of trying to get together when we're there, but he gets too busy. And
Well, I'll be there, so I'll make sure it happens. Forget about my brother. All right,
absolutely.
All right,
we'll have lunch at the media center.
Oh yeah, now we're talking. All right. So last weekend, when you put it up on Twitter, it's going to be an exciting final round, and I think I tweeted at you. It's too bad nothing's going on there. Have fun anyway. So there it is at Valspar. Can you give – we read about it, and you look at TV and see the crowds and everything, but from your perspective of having been on tour, of doing covering events, it seemed like, other than a major maybe, I'm not sure I've ever seen anything like that.
Well, I would even say, and the crowds were a little bit bigger on Saturday than Sunday. I guess it's everybody's at church and having brunch and whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know, and maybe they decided to watch. But the crowds were enormous, and I can tell you this, Mitch. Again, I've been doing this since 2005, and I've covered major championships. There was as big a crowd following Tiger from hole to hole that I've seen in any major championship.
Wow,
it was 10 deep on each side of the fairway. The greens complexes were ridiculous. They were cheering. The university, the college cheer, using your affiliation, let's go Wildcats.
Right.
You know, "Let's go, Tiger." I mean, they were doing that as he was approaching the green. I mean, it was something that, again, I compare it to a Ryder Cup, kind of excitement and emotion. And it was, you could feel the energy just pouring out and filling the crowd. And that was kind of one of the issues on Sunday, is that both Tiger and Brent Snedeker, after, birdies at the first hole, I mean, there was a lull there. And you could feel the crowd wanting something spectacular to happen. And then, of course, the birdie putt at 17, got him going, and unfortunately didn't give himself a good enough look at 18. But it was a great event. Hollis Kavner, whose organization runs that event, Tracy, why do I keep forgetting her name? This is bad.
Oh, Tracy, Tracy,
the tournament director. Since they took over, I want to say it's probably 4 or 5 years ago, they've really created that. And obviously, when Tiger committed. I think they had to put in 6,000 more parking spots. I think their ticket sales went up about 35%. Mm. It was pretty special. And I remember Saturday, when Tiger chipped in at 9, Hollis was standing there by the left of the ninth green, and he just had a big grin on his face.
I'll bet he did.
and, of course, they raised so much money for charity. And without question, Tiger helps with that. But it was, it was, in a lot of ways, it was a surreal experience, because when you look back at Tiger, and we look back to 2016 in December, and he's at the Hero World Challenge, and he's giving his press conference. He's like, "I don't know if I'm going to play again. I just want to be able to play with my kids."
Yep.
We'll see. I want to play, but we'll have to wait and see. And even the same thing at the President's Cup this past fall, and for him to have, I would say, accomplished what he's done this quickly, and not only is a reflection of how hard he's worked and how hard he's, rehab,
mm-hmm.
but it goes to the core of how really good a player he is, for him to be able to do that. And I keep saying that, and people, back in 2015 when he played, and people, oh, he's got the yips and all this stuff. I was one who kind of laid that aside and just said, look, we don't know how he's feeling out there, and he's probably struggling mentally more than physically, and about deciding, again, I'm putting words in his mouth, but from my perspective, I could certainly understand this. He's, do I want to be out here?
Right.
I need to be out here. It's almost like he was compelled to be out there, and he wasn't ready, and obviously there were still physical issues with his back that weren't resolved, but it's something pretty special, and I feel very fortunate to have been able to cover certainly this part of it. And the one thing that I would sort of say to your listeners and everybody that follows the game of golf, we need to temper our expectations a little
right,
bit.
Right, absolutely.
Because I can assure you, Tiger is tempering his expectations as well. Yes, we know he wants to win. He wants to get back and win and compete. But, with what he's done with, one swing, and it could be done.
Yeah,
and so I think while it's great for the golf world, I think our expectations, and I it's somewhat not laughable, but he's the favorite at Bay Hill. Of course, he's won there 8 times.
The right.
Golf course is a little different than the last time he won, but that just shows you the power this guy has. That people are immediately saying, okay, he's the favorite this week,
and the number 2 choice at the Masters now.
Yeah,
I mean. Here's the thing, too, Mark, talking with Mark Carnevale of PGA Tour Radio and PGA Tour Live. Here's the thing, too. It's not only that, you could, as somebody that's followed him his whole career, I'm talking about me, you obviously with your eye, but I saw his swing in the last couple of weeks as being really different in terms of the freedom that he had, in terms of how he approached the impact area with the club, to where the adjustments he's made from having this fusion surgery. There are people that are now considering like having this fusion surgery so they can get their club head speed up.
Did you steal that from me? Because I said it's like the Tommy John surgery.
I was just going to say it.
Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
They're going to do that.
I mean,
obviously, that's jokingly, but
yeah. But
I don't know if anyone would put themselves through that. But yeah, you're right.
His club head speed or his ball speed, I guess his club head speed, was the fastest on the PGA Tour this year that's been measured so far. So now guys are looking at him and going, what? It's almost impossible to believe, really.
It is. And the one other thing that I've noticed, at least in this progression from, you know, his start at the Farmers or even going back to the Hero World Challenge last December, his pace of his swing, his rhythm, just seems so much more fluid, where in the past you would always see him get a little quick, and that's when he'd hit these tee shots, you know, kind of all over the world. He didn't do that this past week. He didn't really do it. He did it a couple times at Honda. So that's something either he's finding. And he's always talked in this process, he's always talked about he's got to find out and figure out what he can and what he can't do. And I think that obviously, and we know how smart the guy is.
Yes.
I mean, and we know how tough mentally he is. So it shouldn't be surprising. But I thought it was funny that on Sunday, a couple of people asked him, said, well, you know, were you nervous in that position? You know, what were you feeling? And the guy said, you know, it's not like I've not been here before. You know, now it's been a while, but he knows what it feels like when he's in that position.
Well,
so I think you know, it's an A plus for what he's done. And again, I think you know, we need to temper our expectations a little bit, because I think it's just like the people searching for that magic pill.
Yeah,
they think all of a sudden he's going to be the Tiger of old, and I just don't see that.
Right.
I see him being able to compete. I see him be able to win, and I think if he can do that, then we're going to, you know, continue to see this. If he feels, and again, this is me speaking, and I think he's even said this himself, if he feels like he can't compete out here, he's not going to go through the motion.
Right, absolutely. And none of us want him to, certainly. And the way I look at it now is this is all gravy, because I never thought he'd be even to this point. So whatever happens after this is great, and it's great for the game that we love. You're the best, dude. You really are. And have fun these next few weeks, and I can't wait to see you that Wednesday of the Masters. It'll be great to see you.
Matthew, always good time. Love what you're doing, and I look forward to seeing you at Augusta.
Thanks, man. See ya.
That'll do it for this edition of Backspin Golf. Always so much fun, and thanks to two of my favorite people. Three, actually. Of course, Perry French. Of course, Perry French. And Michelle Holmes. Fantastic. Just so great with kids. And this idea from the Longleaf tea box idea is just great. And of course, Mark Carnevale, our buddy. Listen to him on Sirius XM PGA Tour and PGA Tour Live. That'll do it. Thanks to French Lick Resort, Edwin Watts, Man of War Golf, Lexington Parks and Rec, all of our great partners. And we'll see you next week right here at the 8:03 tee time. Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.